everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM, home of the weirdest opening music in all of radio. Yeah, people have been asking what that song is. What is that thing, Randy?
That's Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Hocus Pocus by Focus. Well, there you go. All right, the NBA continues here. Thought it was going to be over last night, but the Los Angeles Lakers pulled it out. They beat the Celtics. And I guess my only really complaint is how dare they put that NBA game on opposite of the Tony Awards. I mean, Christ almighty, was I torn. All right, here to talk about the Lakers and their shot tomorrow is one of the premier sportscasters for CBS and KCAL, John Ireland. John, how are you, sir?
Tim, I am fine. How you been, man?
I'm doing excellent, thanks. How you been?
I have been good, although I, like you, very torn between the Lakers and the Tony Awards.
Well,
Yeah,
I can't believe, first of all, that that somebody didn't look at the scheduling and say, most of the NBA fans are huge Broadway fans.
It's a nice mix, isn't it? Would you love to see Kobe Bryant break out in a little song every halftime? And, and then they could save money on all those circus acts they
right.
bring in every night to Staples Center.
All right, folks. John Ireland is with us, and he covers the Lakers and does his homework better than most people in sports, and really has some in-depth knowledge of what's going on. Now, you're not traveling with the team?
I am not. I traveled with them all throughout the year, Tim, for all the games that were on Channel 9. We have their contract during the regular season, but then when the playoffs start, we do the first two rounds, and if you make it past that, then all the big network muckety-mucks pick the game up. So,
how dare they?
So I'm here, but Jim Hill's there. I just talked to him, and he is... he is hanging out in Boston to see if he's going to cover a funeral or if he's going to cover a new Laker coronation. It's probably going to be a funeral. Nobody's ever come back from a 3-1 deficit in the NBA Finals. 28 teams fell behind 3-1, and 28 teams have come back losers. But
nobody's won the last two games either.
Yeah,
the last three games.
Yeah, that's the
especially
hence
two
the
on the
28
road.
For yeah. 28. Yeah, but now that they won one. Their odds go up a little bit. They got an 18% chance now, Tim.
Oh, good. Excellent.
So, our odds are going up each and every day. And here's some news not too many people know about. The Boston Celtics plane got stuck on the tarmac today for about 4 hours. So they're still
good.
Up in the air. And they're going to get in around midnight, and hopefully there'll be some Laker fans there to lose their luggage and make it even more miserable for them. And
what happened
the
there?
How'd
they get stuck on the tarmac?
I don't know. It was plane difficulty. Those
uh-oh.
Dreaded old 40-year-old 727s tend to fail a test every once in a while.
Right. Jeez. I mean, what a disaster that would be. One of those planes go down, huh?
Well, there was a Seinfeld episode years ago about George being George complaining about why doesn't that happen more often? And right after it happened, there was an accident. And so you don't see that episode very much anymore.
Oh, wow.
But there have been a couple. They're not to in any way make light of this, but, the movie We Are Marshall was about that. The Marshall University football team, I think in 1970, went down. They lost the whole plane. It happened to Evansville, too, University of Evansville basketball team years and years ago.
Yeah, I wonder why they did that on Seinfeld. I mean, I can't imagine comedy coming out of that. Why are more NFL teams killed?
Yeah, how they used to just make stuff up, they'd go
right.
on just these random non sequiturs, and one day George, I think it was in a gym, walked in and goes, it's a miracle. Why don't more teams just get wiped out all at once, type of an accident, and then like 2 weeks later, there
bad
was an
vibes.
Accident.
All right, so John, now, got a couple of questions for you here.
Sure.
First of all, the Lakers are a 4-point, or it depends on who you're asking, but a 4 to 4.5 point underdog tomorrow. Doesn't it seem likely that this might be a blowout?
For the Celtics?
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of reasons why I think the Lakers are not more of an underdog. One is that the Celtics have some injuries. Rajon Rondo, their starting point guard, who kind of instigates their offense and gets everything going, sprained his ankle earlier in the series, and he just hasn't been right ever since. And Kendrick Perkins, their center, who is their I've compared him to Shrek. Tim.
Oh, yeah?
He doesn't really serve a purpose other than to stand in the middle and take up space.
Right.
But that's valuable in the NBA because it clogs up the middle. He blew out his shoulder 2 games ago, and he's not expected to play at all.
Oh, wow.
So now 2 of their 5 starters are in trouble. And then a weird thing happened last night. Ray Allen, who's one of their big three, ran out of Staples Center when he found out that one of his kids had received a bad medical diagnosis.
Oh, Jesus.
Allen's expected to play tomorrow, but I think all that uncertainty has probably contributed to the line that you mentioned. And on top of that, the two games that they played in Boston earlier were close.
What was the medical condition that the kid was diagnosed?
It's being speculated on the internet that it's diabetes, but that's been unconfirmed by both the Celtics and the NBA. But it's fairly, if you Google Ray Allen daughter diabetes, there's a whole bunch of stories you'll see about that.
Yeah, but isn't diabetes nowadays fairly controllable with insulin and diet?
Sure, but I think that since the diagnosis literally just came down yesterday, he didn't know how to react to it and kind of hit the ground running. He was not on their team playing today. He flew home separately to deal with it. So, and to answer your question, there are a couple of pretty high profile athletes that. That are full diabetics. One is Jay Cutler, the quarterback for the Denver Broncos, and another is Adam Morrison, who is the basketball player from Gonzaga who plays for the Charlotte Bobcats. Both those guys are diabetic.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, boy. I heard that a lot of the Boston Celtics wanted to stay out here to celebrate the new gay marriages that are going on.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. Just a rumor on the internet.
It was an old Spike Lee joke when he used to make fun of the Boston Celtics for how ugly they all were.
You know, I was just looking at KCAL right now. We have KCAL on in the studio. And I don't have the sound up, so I might be mistaken here.
Right.
But the video, it looks like Gloria Allred married a woman in Beverly Hills today. Is that possible?
I saw the same video that you were looking at, and she looked like she was standing in front. But do you know Gloria at all? Does she ever come
on
your show?
Yes, she does.
Yeah, she's come on my show a bunch too. She's great. She's a great radio guest. But as Steve Mason, my radio partner, jokes all the time, Gloria would show up for the opening of an envelope.
Right.
So my guess is, not knowing any of the circumstances, that Gloria perhaps just showed up to show up.
But, oh, I see. Okay. We'll try to clear that up later on.
I'll find out. I'll call the desk when we're done, Tim, and find out whether or not she actually married a woman. That would be big news.
All right. It would be huge news. Yeah, absolutely. All right. If you'd like to talk to John Ireland, you can stay with us for a little bit, huh?
Sure. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
John Ireland is with CBS and KCAL and does most of the Laker games or all the Laker games during the regular season and has some great inside knowledge of what's going on with the Lakers as well as the Celtics. And you're not going to run into a guy that does more homework. You're sort of like the Tim Russert of sports.
Oh, boy, that's a great compliment. It's so funny. Mason and I were, sitting in the studio the other day, and when Tom Brokaw came on during that golf tournament and broke the news about Russert, and we were, more bummed out about that than we were about all sorts of sports figures that have died in the past year. I'm a big fan. Did you like his stuff?
You know what? I the only show that I tape on a weekly basis, my wife tapes about 1,400 shows. Every reality show, she's got, Survivor, and
And then, of course, you got to get all the new, Gossip Girl.
Right,
and all,
Big Brother, Living with Ed. I mean, any reality show. The only show I tape every week, and I've done this for about 10 or 15 years, is Meet the Press, and I made it a point to watch it because I love that dude. And I was depressed this weekend, more so than I was with certain family members passing away. I'm talking about not direct family members, but like uncles and aunts and stuff like that. I really was had a real difficult weekend dealing with that, and I don't know why.
I think a lot of people were in that. I was right there with you. I think a lot of people were in that boat because, he wasn't he was the type of guy that you actually felt like he asked questions that you would want to know the answer to, and he wasn't a jerk to these guys no matter if they were Democrat or Republican, and it was he's going to be missed a lot by NBC during the election, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's the only reason to watch NBC.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of another reason.
Because all those other guys, Matthews and Olbermann, and they're all biased. I mean, you know they're leaning one way or the other.
You never knew which way Tim Russert was leaning, even though he came from a Democratic background.
Right.
He was as hard on the Democrats as he was on the Republicans. But these other guys, Matthews and Olbermann, they're just cheerleaders. And on the other side as well. Fox as well. So I'm not just talking about NBC. But anyway, so he would
I think you should be the new host of Meet the Press.
Thank you very much. They're talking about his kid being the host of that show.
I saw his kid on the Today Show this morning, Tim.
Yeah,
he was great.
Yeah,
for a 22
really,
year old kid, he just carried himself great.
Yeah,
I mean,
he really kept it together. I would have lost it, especially with all those personal questions they're asking him.
Right. Yeah, he was great.
All right, let's get back to Lakers here. If you have a question for John Ireland, 520-9710. Perhaps a comment on also the allegations that the NBA is fixed. We'll talk to John about that and get his thoughts. And 888-520-9710. But our main number here, 520-9710. Now, the Lakers play tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Is that correct?
Right. On ABC.
Okay.
Or as they say these days, ESPN on ABC.
On another network.
I don't care.
I like how they always do that.
Yeah.
It's on another network.
Isn't that the dumbest thing
I know.
Ever?
Like it'd be...
you're not going to find it.
And like it's impossible to find if you say ABC or, you know, if you don't say NBC. All right. Now, real quickly, the Celtics are going back home. And other than Pierce and a couple of the other guys, none of the Celtics wanted to win it in Los Angeles. They felt like they could really afford to lose one or two on the road and then go back to the Boston crowd for game six, which is really like 22 years in the making.
Yeah, I think that's absurd, by the way.
Is that right?
I don't think any of those players didn't want to win last night. You know, when you get a chance to close this thing out, you got to take it because you don't get very many chances. But at the same time, I think it's more fun to win it at home. This is a lot, Tim, like the 2000 series that I covered from start to finish when the Lakers beat the Pacers. Matter of fact, the Lakers won games 1 and 2 at home, lost game 3, won game 4, lost game 5, and won it in game 6. And if the Celtics win tomorrow, that's exactly the same way it'll go down. Boston will have a huge advantage. They've defeated the Lakers in every game they've played back there this year, all three of them. And I think...
Well, that was before. That was a pre-Gasol, though?
Right, but they had Bynum.
Oh, I did.
I think when everybody tries to sell that, yeah, the Lakers are a different team now because they have Pau Gasol. Well, the question you have to ask is, did they have Andrew Bynum in those other games? And they did. They had him in both of them.
Right.
So they had a good center. The Celtics are a better defensive team than the Lakers. But the Lakers have the best player, and they have the best coach. So, you know, you would think that if the game's close at the end, the Lakers will have a great chance to steal it. And the fun thing to watch, the reason I really want the Lakers to win tomorrow, is that if there's a Game 7, all of the pressure will be on the Celtics.
Oh, right,
and
yeah.
It'll be fun. Do you have any friends from Boston? It'll be great to watch them squirm because, you know, they thought they had the Super Bowl. They thought they had the Patriots, you know, were 18-0, and they went into the Super Bowl. And
right.
All they had to do was beat the Giants, and they tanked. And they already have the World Series. You know,
yeah,
the Red
it could
Sox
have been a big year.
World Series. They don't need any more wins. I'd love the Lakers to just put up, you know, go back there and upset everybody and figure it out. But it's a long shot.
Yeah,
I don't think it'll happen.
John Ireland is with us from CBS and KCAL. It's a lot like the Lakers and the Dodgers had a great year. I believe it was either 1988 or 1984. I think it was 88.
Right. They both won it.
Yeah, and Boston was having that kind of year and still could. I mean, they have the baseball championship. They should have had the football championship, and now the basketball. It's a big year for Boston. All right. Also, here's what I'll ask you as well. The Lakers, and again, I'm not smart enough to figure this out, and I barely know what the pick and roll is, but they said that Boston, that L.A. really has no answer for the pick and roll, and Boston plays it very well.
Somewhat true. The big problem that the Lakers have is they can't get the score up, Tim. They need to. A good thing for, you know, even casual fans to keep an eye on is when the Lakers score more than 100 points, they almost always win. If the score's down, if they score in the 80s or low 90s, the Celtics almost always win.
Oh,
matter of fact, I could throw a whole bunch of statistics at you that would back that up, but it'd be long and boring and your listeners will all turn out. But,
well, let's do that during the commercial break.
There you go.
On the air.
but the bottom line is if the Lakers play better when the game is moving fast, when the score is high, the Celtics play better when it's a half-court game and they're able to keep the score down. Kevin Garnett, who plays for the Celtics, was the defensive player of the year. He's very hard to get around near the basket. So if you look at the score at halftime and it's 40-38, that's a very bad sign for the Lakers. But if it's 55-53, that's a very good sign. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Well, you know, even as a casual fan, I knew that the Lakers were probably in trouble in Game 5 when everybody was high-fiving and hugging going into the locker room at halftime.
You thought that they were celebrating too early?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they were up by 18 points, but I thought, geez, that's really early to start, you know, hugging, high-fiving, and
sure.
You know, packing your bags.
Well, as it turns out, you were right.
Yeah,
you
know? Unfortunately.
Yeah, but the Lakers have specialized in blowing leads in this series.
Now, how does that happen? I mean, I've never seen so many leads blown in an NBA Finals in my life.
I think in this particular series, The reason it's happening is because the Celtics, again, are able to slow the game down to a crawl. And they get to the free throw line a lot, so there's no time being run off the clock. And then the Lakers can't score, so they're able to chip away, chip away, chip away. And if you look at the final totals in those games, all of them under 100, Boston was able to just crawl back in it. When the Lakers are running up and down and dunking and taking three-pointers, they're not afforded that chance. But if you look at the score by quarters, Tim, you'll see that the Lakers are scoring 19. They had a 15-point quarter. You know, when the score's down, that's the red flag. And that's why they've been blowing the leads.
Yeah, and it really is uncomfortable to watch these games because the Lakers could be up by 18 points in the fourth quarter. And 99...
you can't go to bed.
Yeah, but back when, you know, Magic and Worthy were around, you could go to sleep.
Right.
You know, they're going to hold a 14-point edge in the fourth quarter. Now you got to watch it all the way to the end. Even like, you know, even when they're up like 7 points with a minute left, you're nervous.
Yeah, and you know what I was thinking about, too? It must suck for kids that live on the East Coast.
Oh, right.
Because these games are starting at 9 o'clock back east.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're a kid and you're still in school, you like you say, you can't turn the games off because you never know when one of these teams is going to come back. And they're all ending at midnight. Last night's game ended at 12:05
right.
in Boston.
On a Sunday night, on a
yeah.
school night.
So what are these NBA people doing? Put the games back on in the daytime for weekends especially. And for weekdays, put them on at 4 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah, well, you know, I have the solution for that. Like a lot of my friends who used to live in Boston, move to L.A.
There you go.
It's very simple.
We have people here, Tim. You know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's very simple. Just leave Boston. You can watch the game when you know the kids are awake.
Yeah, go move to Hawaii. Hey,
right.
We don't need any more people on our freeways. Go clog up over there. Clog up the islands for a while.
I don't know if you noticed this, but the gas prices are really freeing up those freeways. All right. Here are the phone numbers, gang. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. John Ireland is with us. Let's talk to Byron in Santa Monica. You're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, dude.
So I heard the windshield was cracked on the Celtics plane.
Was that one? I heard they had two problems. Was that the first one?
Yeah, I believe that was one of them. And John, what are the chances we see Kobe Carl these next two games?
I think the chances you'll see Kobe Carl in a suit are very, very good. I think the chances they'll activate him are almost zero. Somebody would have to be jogging in the Boston Common on the Freedom Trail, trip, fall, and sprain their ankle in order for Kobe Carl to put a uniform on tomorrow night. But you never know, Tim. As you know, stranger things have happened.
But they all travel with the team now, huh?
They do, yeah. They have 15 people on their roster, and they're all back there, but they can only dress 12.
Yeah, and the other guys just sit behind the bench?
Yeah, Andrew Bynum, Kobe Carl, and probably Ira Neubel will be inactive tomorrow night.
How old is Kobe Carl?
Kobe Carl is 24.
Wow, young guy.
Yeah.
How old is Kobe Bryant now?
Kobe Bryant is 29.
He's already 29?
Yeah, remember, he came into the league when he was 17.
Yeah.
It's his 13th year in the NBA, but he's only 29 because he didn't go to college.
That is outrageous. That's amazing. I can't believe he's 29 years old, and they're still, you know, comparing him to Michael Jordan. But if you're going to compare somebody to Michael Jordan, he can't have the series that Kobe Bryant's having.
Right. And if you think about it, Tim, he's lost 7 of his last 9 finals games, too. And, you know, you gotta be better than that. And if he loses this series, he'll be 3-2 in the finals. Michael Jordan was 6-0.
Oh, is that right? 6-0. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
And never even let it go to a 7th game.
Wow. Is that right?
Yeah. He won 6 titles. He won consecutive titles, 91, 92, 93. And then he took those 2 years off to play baseball. And then he won 96, 97, 98. And never let it go to a 7th game. Was the MVP of every one of those finals.
Jesus.
And finished 6-0.
Well, how do you compare Kobe Bryant then to him? I mean, he took 2 years off to go play baseball and still came back and what? Won 2 or 3 championships.
The reason those comparisons still happen, and they're not realistic. Michael Jordan was a better player than Kobe, and I love Kobe, but even Kobe would tell you that that's a ridiculous comparison to make. The reason that it happens is people that played against both of them, guys like Charles Barkley, say that Kobe is more talented offensively. He has more moves. He's a better scorer than Jordan was. And Kobe's been on the all-defense team a bunch of times like Jordan was. But the truth is, Jordan had this will to win and this ability to put the team on his back. And Phil Jackson has said they're comparable. So that's why those comparisons keep happening. But Jordan, there'll never be another Jordan. It's you know, and you can't do that. You know that. And,
right.
and you know, it's like comparing different baseball players from different eras and different actors. I mean, you can't do it. It's fun to talk about, but it makes no sense.
Yeah, but it was also fun, I mean, to be able to watch Michael Jordan, and also out here from a lot of years, you know, Wayne Gretzky, two of the best players in their sports ever. And it was fun to watch, I mean, be able to be alive when both those guys were playing.
Right. Yeah, if you ever get bored one night, go see how much better Wayne Gretzky was than every other player in the league.
Right.
You look up the numbers, it's like points. Gretzky, 212. The next guy has like 150.
Well, you know, I think Wayne Gretzky has 96 NHL records, and his 96th record was that he has 95 records, that he has, you know, the most records. And he also shares a record, the most goals scored between two brothers who played in the NHL.
Oh, that's because his brother Keith got called up for like a week, right?
His brother has 0 goals.
Yeah.
0.
I covered his brother when I was working in San Diego. He played for the minor league hockey team down there for a year.
All right, John Ireland is with us. Can you stay for a second?
Sure.
All right, John Ireland is with us from KCAL and CBS. Covers the Lakers like nobody else, and you got a question for him, 520-9710. Perhaps a prediction of what's going to happen tomorrow night when the Lakers take on Boston in Game 6 back in Boston. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. John Ireland is with us talking about the Lakers live at 97.1 Free FM.
Do it live!
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. And with us from CBS and KCAL, the guy that covers the Lakers all year long until ABC steals them for the playoffs or the finals. Ladies and gentlemen, John Ireland. John, how are you, sir?
Tim, I am doing great. And by the way, hey, I heard you signed a spectacular new big money deal over there at the big CBS there. So congratulations on that. Can I borrow $1 million?
Well, then that'd only leave me with 5.
Well,
you know?
I hate to hear that.
Thank you very much, John. I signed a 1 year deal today. So I'll be with the station until June of 2009. And that will be the 12th year. And
good for you. Wow, 12 years at one station is great.
Yeah, it really is. Every day I thank my lucky stars because this station doesn't know it. But about 8 years ago, I ran out of crap to say. Randy, did you tell him to say that, dude?
Well, yeah.
Why would you do that, man? I just told you casually.
Tim, you told me to tell him to say that.
We have to talk about everything on the air. There are no secrets anymore. Please.
It's a lot.
I read it on the internet.
All right, the Lakers are back. All right, let's take some calls here. How about Steven and Torrance? You're on with John Ireland with the Lakers. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. How's everybody doing?
All right, what do you got?
Good. Hey, John, just to kind of switch gears here for a moment, I watched the U.S. Open yesterday.
Right.
And, I'm not a big golf fan, and I don't really play too much golf. But
did you watch the finals today?
No, I didn't catch it. But, I watched the match, and, I got to tell you, I don't know if it's just me, but I was rooting for Rocco.
A lot of people were. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I watched it today, and I didn't care who won, but a lot of people were out there pulling for Rocco, huh?
Well, here's the one thing, though. I'm glad that Tiger Woods gives a crap, because yesterday Tiger Woods could have, missed that putt or not, it was obvious he had a bad knee. He was just struggling to get through it.
Right.
Tim, this guy's got $100 million, that he's made in, like, the last 5 years. He could have flown home to his yacht and his model wife, and his life never would have changed at all. But he cares, He's one of these guys that's not motivated simply by money, and he wants to win, and he cares about winning majors. And so because there's an 800-pound gorilla, it makes stories like Rocco Mediate's possible.
Right.
And today was great. I had to go in the air at 1 o'clock over at KSVN when that thing happened. And I literally was, I'm sure you've done this on a few nights, had one eye on the TV and one eye on the radio. It was, you couldn't take your eyes off it. It was that good.
I did the same thing. I watched it today, and it just goes to show that even with all that money, that you'll still try to make an 18-foot putt to stay away from the wife for one more day.
There you go. You know?
All right, John Ireland is with us from KCAL and CBS. Let's talk to, Damon in Upland? You're on 97.1.
Hi, Tim. Hi, John. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Damon.
Hi. Hey, John, you do a great job covering the Lakers.
Oh, thanks, man.
Hey, quick question for you. Is it just me, or is Lamar stinking it up big time?
Well, he's not consistent. The problem with him is that one night he looks like the best player in the league, and the next night you can't even find him. And that's what drives the Lakers and their coaches crazy, is that he's inconsistent. And what's weird about him, guys, is that if he has to be the number one option and carry your team, he can't do it. When he's the number two option, he isn't even that good. But when Gasol got here and he became the number three option besides Kobe and Gasol, he became really, really effective. But like last night, he played great. The four games before that, he was really inconsistent. So yep. If they're going to extend this thing, Tim, right. He needs to play good, not just tomorrow, but on Thursday, too.
Yeah, but you know, I thought he actually had a couple of key layups yesterday that motivated the Lakers and the crowd as well.
Yeah, yesterday he played great. That's why it's so frustrating. You can't count on him all the time. But if he plays like he did last night, the Lakers got a great shot.
Yeah, and what about Luke Walton? Is this the last year in the purple and gold?
No. He signed a new deal right before this season. He could have opted out last year, but he signed a new 5-year deal at the start of this season. So he's going to be with the Lakers for a while.
What does he make a year? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It's not. It's like four million.
Wow, is that right?
Yeah, might be a little high, but you know, like Vladimir Redmanovich makes $6 million a year. So
Jesus Christ!
I mean, the money in the NBA is sick, Tim. It makes, not to make fun of your new deal,
right?
But it makes your new deal pale in comparison, which I know is almost impossible to do.
How dare you? But you know what? At the end of next year, I have an option. Those guys don't. So
there you go.
That's why I did it.
And maybe you could go play for the Celtics or the Suns or you know the Warriors. They have play for the Lakers.
That's right. And on TV and all those chicks. And
there you go.
All right, let's talk to, how about Craig and Reseda? You're on with John Ireland. How are you, sir?
Good evening, Timmy. I have a quick question for you, Tim. Does life experience count towards a degree at Pot College?
Of Pot College?
Yeah.
I bet it does. I imagine you still have to pay the same tuition, but you might be more advanced when you get to class.
As always, you make a lot of sense.
Thank you, sir. Are you going to go to that, by the way?
No. I completed my advanced degree years ago.
It sounds like it. All right, you got a question for John?
Yes, I do. Mr. Ireland, first of all, I want to say that it is an extreme pleasure talking to you. I think that you're the best thing to happen to Laker Broadcasting since a chick passed. And
wow,
I know you're not a Chick Hearn, but you are so smart, and your investigative reporting in the past for a lot of networks has been absolutely killer. Here's my question. We're almost at the end of the season. My question is about the beginning of the season.
Okay.
I distinctly recall Phil Jackson, among other Laker coaches, other players, and pundits in and around the Los Angeles area saying that the Lakers were a year early, that their expectations for a championship should be more properly focused 2009-2010, that really, despite the fact that the coaches knew Andrew Bynum's potential, they really didn't think that it was going to happen this fast. Do you recall that, and what is your feelings about that?
Great question, by the way.
He said it, guys, in Hawaii at training camp when we were all over there. And keep in mind, at that time, Tim, Kobe Bryant was asking to be traded.
Right.
I mean, this is one of the great fairy tale Laker seasons of all time because at the beginning of the year, for example, over at ESPN, they had 10 experts pick where they thought the Lakers would finish.
Right.
Nobody picked them to finish higher than fourth in the West, and five of them picked them to miss the playoffs. Well, they finished first in the West and made it all the way back to the finals, and the main reason that they sped up their growth was when they traded for Pau Gasol in February. And if I remember correctly, Tim, I think that's the last time I was on with you when they made that big trade.
I think you're right, yeah.
When I was up in Toronto in that hotel room.
Was that with Memphis?
Yeah, they made the trade with Memphis to get Gasol, and they just stole him. They basically traded a bag of chips for the guy and got him out of there.
Yeah,
and,
well, from what I understand, though, Memphis just was told, I mean, the coaches and the general manager were told to lose all the high salaries.
Right. And the Lakers were the beneficiaries of that.
And they didn't want to trade him to Chicago because then you would have heard, I think the guy who owns the Memphis team is from Chicago, and he would have heard that forever and ever.
Well, the other thing was they wanted the biggest expiring contract they could get because then when it goes off the books, it gives you more money to go after free agents. And the Lakers happened to have that in Kwame Brown, who is just a tremendous stiff, Tim. I could talk for hours about the how bad this guy was.
Well, speaking of Kwame Brown, while you're trash, you might as well jump on board. from what I understand of players who play in the NBA, that he shouldn't be in the NBA.
And the funny thing was, he was the number one overall pick the year he came out of high school. He didn't go to college. And he's one of these guys that, you know, have you ever heard of the all-airport team?
Right.
When he's walking through the airport, you, if we were picking teams, like you would say, oh, if me and you were sitting there, we'd just say, oh, I'll take that guy. I'll take Kwame Brown. I'll be in great shape because he's big and he's tall and he's wide and he looks coordinated. And then he gets out there to play and he can't play.
Right.
And so everybody fell in love with his potential and his size, but he just never developed. And so that's why he had a $10 million contract.
Right.
And so by trading that to Memphis, Memphis gets that off their books at the end of this year, and they're able to go out and get other players. And the Lakers were able to get Pau Gasol, and that's why, to answer the question, the Lakers were able to get to the finals at least a year earlier than anybody thought they would get there, is because they made that trade.
Well, also, from what I heard about Kwame Brown, that people have played with him think that he should be one of those players that is just there for practice. You know how they tried to fill up the court with other players for a five-on-five, and that he doesn't even move his feet properly. Is that right?
Well, not only that, Tim, but here's the funny thing. When Memphis lets him go, as they undoubtedly will,
right,
there will be another team dumb enough to pay this guy millions of dollars because they think they're smarter than everyone else and they can turn him into a player.
That's
the way the NBA works. Where there is dumb, there is always dumber.
You think he's going to sign more than a $3 million deal?
I absolutely think he's going to sign what we call the mid-level exception, which will be for about 4.5, and somebody will give it to him, and it'll be the dumbest signing of the year, and we all know it going in, and somebody will still think, well, I've never coached him, or he's never been in our system, and he'll be good, and somebody will do it.
I'll bet you dinner that the guy doesn't get north of 3.
Done.
All right.
Done.
Got it.
It's a bet.
All right. All right. John Ireland is with us from KCAL and CBS, covers the Lakers all year long. And nobody stays up later, and nobody talks to the players more than John Ireland. And he's also not a what they call a homer, where he will tell you when the Lakers are playing terrible, and he'll tell you when they're playing great. He'll tell you who's doing well and who's not doing well. And that's always uncomfortable when you have to run into these guys after you just reported how terrible they are. But I imagine that's part of the of being a reporter.
Well, and then part of that too is Phil Jackson is great about that. You know, he's very self-deprecating, and you know, he calls it like it is. And so those of us who cover the team on a regular basis and who travel with him are able to kind of follow his lead. But you know, if somebody plays bad, Phil will be the first one to say, "God, that guy was absolutely horrible tonight."
Mm-hmm.
And so they're all used to it from the minute they walk into the gym.
You know, and that's got to be tough because you know, nobody reviews you every night. You know, when you go out and do a broadcast, nobody says, "Hey, John Ireland, man, he really screwed up this play in the third quarter," and write about it in the LA Times. But when these guys wake up the morning after the game, every newspaper they pick up could take a personal and deep shot at him.
Right.
I guess that's why you get $8 million. You know?
Yeah, it's part of and it's part of being a pro athlete. I mean, now in this world we live in with the internet and talk radio. And,
right.
And everything else. I mean, they know what they're getting into, but you know, they're not going to do anything else. Who else is going to pay them $2 million to play basketball?
Exactly. All right, John Ireland is with us. Let's talk to Jess in Los Angeles. You're on 97.1. How are you, sir?
Hello, Tim. How are you, Bob?
All right. What do you got, dude?
Well, I tell you, John, don't you think Kobe's due? And if we win a game 6, anything goes on game 7. Go Lakers, and T-Dog is a radio's best voice. I got nothing else to say, T.
Thank you, buddy. There he goes. So when, I guess his basic question is, when is Kobe going to explode, as if you have that information in your pocket, I guess.
Well, the funny thing is the Celtics have taken the attitude that, look, we'll stop him. Anybody else, go ahead and shoot. And so they've kind of put 2, 3, sometimes 4 guys on Kobe, and that's why last night was good news for the Lakers, because a bunch of other guys played well. Gasol played well, and Odom played well, and Jordan Farmar came alive. But that's what's going to have to happen, Tim, if they're going to win these games. And if they, of course, they lose tomorrow, the whole thing's over.
Right, but, you know, it also does seem like Kobe Bryant's tired.
I don't know if he's tired as much as he's being. The whole defense is shaped around stopping him.
Right. And what's the sock on his arm? You have tendonitis?
Yeah. He's had it for a couple of years.
All right, bad vibes. All right, we got to take a break. Can you stay on for one more segment?
I probably can't.
Okay.
But I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for calling, buddy.
Oh, no, that's okay. I've got to go do this Channel 9 stuff, so we'll see you at 9:40 and 10:40.
We'll watch you on Channel 9, 9:40 and 10:40.
Okay, man.
All right, thanks, man. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, there he goes. John Ireland, everybody. We'll continue talking about the Lakers here. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is Tim Conway Jr. Got to thank John Ireland for coming on. And we're live at 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Lakers play tomorrow night. And take a couple calls here, and then we move on. Jonathan in Pasadena, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, Mr. Conway.
Hey,
how are you,
dude?
I'm just curious. What does your gambler's instinct tell you about what's going to happen with 6 and 7 and whether Kobe's going to just absolutely explode at some point if that's what he needs to do?
Well, I predict that the Lakers are going to get blown out tomorrow. That's why you've got to bet on the Lakers.
Because, okay, for sure.
I'll put $5 tonight on Boston online, and I'll bet it online, and then the Lakers will probably win by 20 tomorrow.
Okay, so
I think the Lakers are going to lose big. That's why the Lakers would probably win big. You know what I mean?
I'm just curious though. Don't want to say anything. You know.
Anything,
but if they win game 6, what game 7 do you think it's like what Mr. Ireland was saying of just pressures on the Celtics and the Lakers can handle it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, I don't follow the NBA as closely as some people do. But I think, if the Lakers win game 6, then, they got nothing to lose because at the beginning of the season, as John Ireland said, they were picked by a lot of sports writers not even to make the playoffs. And if you told them at the beginning of the season when they're in training camp in Hawaii that they would make it to Game 7 in the NBA Finals, they would have taken that for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, ESPN is like a bunch of talking heads, to be honest. Like, I trust you.
Thank you
are
very
one
much.
Of my friends more than
Thank
anyone.
Thank you, so. Sir. Hey, hold on one sec. We're going to give you a pair of tickets here to see Tommy, the rock opera by Pete Townsend. So hold on one second. Pete Townsend and The Who. Tommy hits the stage Wednesday through June 29th. At the Ricardo Montalban Theater. Look at that, in Hollywood. Tickets are on sale at TIX.com. TIX.com. So hold on one sec. We'll send you those tickets, dude.
Awesome, man. Have
All
a
right.
good night.
Thank you, too, man. There he goes. All right, real quickly, we promised to play this, and it was getting late. But the NBA is being scrutinized now because of some allegations that there was some cheating going on. And if you go to YouTube.com, very popular, and you put in NBA Fixed, here's the video, the first video that pops up, and they make a pretty compelling case that last year between Phoenix and San Antonio, the game may have been altered by the referees.
Ginobili on the pass, gets inside, misses the layup. He's pleading for foul, and now a late whistle. Tim Donaghy, outside official, made the call late.
No, I don't know what he saw.
The gambling allegations against referee Tim Donaghy could lead to facts that he did make calls to affect the Suns' Game 3 108-101 Western Conference semifinal loss to the Spurs, a game in which Amari Stoudemire was a non-factor, playing only 21 minutes because of foul trouble.
You can't make that call in the NBA playoffs, Mike. I'm sorry.
Donaghy was teamed that night with Greg Willard and Eddie Rush, producing one of the worst lopsided officiated playoff games last year.
That's a foul.
Robert Horry hit him on the arm.
Eddie F. Rush looking right at the play.
The Suns left the floor incensed over non-calls.
Nash yelling, calling for a foul.
Suffering a 7-point loss when the betting line was 4.5. The allegations burn every Suns fan who feels the team was not only the victim of the league for suspending Boris Diaw and Amari Stoudemire for Game 5 for leaving the bench in Game 4, but now losing pivotal Game 3 in which a possible crooked third party made the playing field anything but equal.
That's a foul. Hits him over the shoulder there. You got to make that call.
All right, and I don't believe in a lot of conspiracy theories, but they do make a pretty good case here. This guy is looking at 25 years in federal prison for the referee for fixing some of these games. And if you go to YouTube.com, there's also a piece on there that ESPN is running, denying a lot of the charges, but yet investigating some of the games and some of the allegations. So go to YouTube.com. And then put in NBA Fixed in the little search box there. And it's pretty pretty good video. I think you'll come away with it like I did, thinking, I don't know. I'm not sure that that these guys, These referees have, you know, just very little to do with the outcome. All right, coming up at 9 o'clock, we got news with Gina Grad. We'll check in with her. What's in the news, Gina Grad?
Well, the Lakers are fighting to stay alive in the playoffs, and Dr. Drew is in some hot water with Tom Cruise. We'll talk about this and more after the break.
Wow, look at that. Tom Cruise, man. Also, right now, you're going to hear David Letterman's top 10 list, the top 10 signs your kids hate you. Wow, look at that. Post-Father's Day comedy list. All right, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM.